Hi everyone, Bob Phillips here once again with the Aviar Arts Review, and I really have to wish everyone out there a very, very happy new year. You know, 2013 looks to me like it's going to be an extraordinary year for Native people, both in terms of our perception before the general public, but also in terms of the artists. As it happens, I'm starting the year off with a couple of interviews that I did late in 2012. Both of them were associated with the 007 Collective out of Ottawa, which of course reminds me of the Native group of seven that came much earlier and really was the forefront for all of these things. On the other hand, the two people that you'll hear right now, Frank Shibiget and Rebecca Belmore, are really worthwhile people to start the new year listening to or watching or looking at their beautiful work. Happy New Year, everyone. Hi, everyone. Bob Phillips here once again with the Aviar Arts Review, and I'm still down here at OCAD with some rather fantastic artists as part of a collective called the 007 Collective. And today I'm sitting with one of the most experienced and one of the best of those artists, Frank Shibiget. How are you doing today, Frank?
I'm doing very well.
Well, you should be doing very well because you were part of a discussion group downstairs there, and some of those questions were extraordinarily interesting. Like, for example, how did you actually become involved? What drew you to art in the first place?
I was always artistic as a kid, and in, most of my family were artistic in some way as well, and just friends as well that were artistic, and then just sort of snowballed from there. And I knew people that were going to art school, and I just sort of thought I'd check that out as well. And I started off as doing illustrations, and then once I got to school, it just sort of saw the other different mediums that I could work in.
Well, it seems to me that some of the people that you were dealing with when you were quite young also became very highly trained artists, and some of them very famous. Anybody come to mind?
Rebecca Belmore, yeah, and Michael Belmore, her sister, brother. He was my best friend growing up, so that's one of the people that went, like, actually both of them went to the Ontario College of Art. So that's where I went to school as well. And even their other sister, Florine, like, she's a writer, does every type of writing, like novels or short stories. And so I was always around artistic people, and like, even just within my family, living in the middle of nowhere, you kind of have to be industrious. And some, like, you know, if you need an axe handle, like, you know, you can't necessarily go out and buy it, so you go and make one. So just you become handy, and like, someone referred to me once as like a blue collar artist, like, because, like, you know, the materials that I work with, like, a lot come from hardware stores and like stuff, everyday things that you can buy and stuff. So where I grew up, it was a small town called Upsala in northern Ontario, and it's about 200 people, and that's where the Belmores were raised as well. So that's where David General said that, like, you know, like, there's something in the water, because there's like three or four people that come out of there that made a name for themselves in some way or another. So.
Well, in my particular case, I was raised actually in the West End of Toronto, but I think that there are attitudes that are passed on from generation to generation, and one of those attitudes came through my dad, which was, if you something needed to fix, get fixed, you found a way to do it, and you didn't necessarily have to call a dealer to fix the automobile. And that's the same process that you seem to be talking about, and probably half the young people out there are facing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of my work, it's obsessive compulsive. There's lots of repetition and multiples in it. And like early on, like, I had to do the work. Like, it was up to me. It was my part of the of the final product was that it was labor intensive, and that it was like that it was my hand that was actually making the work. Over the years, it's I'm still doing it, but it's changing slightly. But like, it just as any kind of professional artist, sometimes you, like, especially if you're working on like public commissions, like, you know, you shop that all out, like you get engineers and you get fabricators and all that kind of stuff, which I haven't gone into yet. I'm also kind of interested in the idea of fabrication in some ways too, but like early on and up to this date, like a lot of it was it had to be my hand making the work. Like the one installation I had was called Beavers, and it was constructing model airplanes. So it was based on the Davelin Beaver float plane. And so I found out in my research that, like, you know, like 1,692 airplanes existed of the Beaver. So I made all 1,692 out of basswood. So I kind of constructed them all, assembled them, and displayed them. Yeah, and I did a second version of that, which was a pile of airplanes. And with that one, I changed it up a bit, where I did, I got friends and most mainly friends involved with doing the assembly and stuff like that, and try to make it more community oriented and stuff like that. So that's kind of, there was no purpose for that, but it was just more just to create some sort of. I work as an installation technician, so it's always kind of nice. Like, I always enjoy working on other people's art and see how it's made. And so I just, a lot of my friends, like, they see my work, but they've never really experienced it, or, like, you know, they ask questions about it. So then I invited them to be part of it and to help create the one installation. So.
Now, the Beaver airplane thing, I believe that I saw that one of those first installations right here in Toronto. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't remember what year that was, but it was at A Space.
Yes.
And that was...
Well, a few years ago.
Yeah, like at least 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years ago, or something like that.
And I started to count those things, but anyway, I gave up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two versions of that now.
Oh.
Whatever. So, but I mean, there's the one that's suspended from the ceiling, which I wanted to create an organic shape. So I was kind of looking, because it's an airplane, my first ideas were I wanted it to look like a funnel, like a swarm of bees, which it kind of looks like, but at the same time now it kind of looks more like a school of fish. So it's kind of like this squadron of airplanes, but then you know, like squadron, like you see schools of fish, and like, you know, they're just it's an intense, like, powering motion that they have, whatever. So
but on the other hand, fish are not fabricated by us, at least. Airplanes are. And so are homes. It seems to me you did an installation with houses as well, is that correct?
Yeah, that was called, the first one I did was called Small Village. So that was, it was kind of, when I moved from rural on Northern Ontario and came to Toronto, there was a lot of ideas of identity, like that was the big words at the time, especially going into art school. And then actually being a kind of visible person in Northern Ontario, where it's like, oh, you're a native, whatever. Yes. Whether it's positive or negative. And then coming to Toronto, and then, like, you're nothing, you're nobody, you know. And it's like, which was kind of nice, like, and then you had time to explore, and like, you know, it was actually kind of funny, because when I kind of got here, I started thinking about, like, where I'm from, and actually it made me think about where I was from, and actually I still think a lot about where, like, of the town of Uppsala and, like, my family and the community there, and never really gave it a thought when I was there, you know. So it's so I was trying to think of, like, kind of like iconic, I wanted to create these iconic symbols, positive ones, instead of, like, stereotypical racist, the kind of symbols that are all out there for Aboriginal people. So I grew up in a reserve house, which my dad built, And so it's like a standard like two bedroom bungalow, which was more of a summer house than an all year round all year housing thing. So it was, you know, it was a rough growing up. And so like that's what I kind of symbolized, like identified with that, like that this is the house that I grew up in, and this is where I was raised. Like my parents raised seven kids in this small two bedroom house. And that's a big part of my identity. So I created these little models out of gray bookboard. It's an architectural material to make models. So I wanted to play on that idea of model making and like architecture, and like usually you make models of things of beauty, like, you know, things that, and it's supposed to be very visual. Instead of having to look at schematic drawings and stuff like that, like you have the actual product of it there, and it's like this, you know, it's aesthetically pleasing sort of thing, and it's, you can see everything about the structure. And so it's kind of parallel to this idea of that this is kind of like a poor person's house. But at the same time, there's so much positive ideas, personal ideas about that too, where it's like it's a house, but it's also the home. Like,
Yes.
I think a lot of people that I talk to, like, oh yeah, that, like, you know, they talk about the house, but then they talk about, like, you know, like that's where I like grew up with my brothers and sisters. But then there's also this government agenda, like there's heavy politics tied to it as well. So there's it's a balance between a personal story and sort of government politics about this like government program of housing native people, like forcing them, moving them into new technologies, I guess, and stuff like that.
Well, that also is a tie-in between identity and houses and homes, which explains a great deal about your work. What are you working on now? Anything in particular?
I did a piece a couple years ago about using fishing nets, and
Oh.
so I did a piece at Carleton University Art Gallery in Ottawa 2 years ago, and I wanted, because my dad was a hunter fisherman. He was a guide in later in his life, and we grew up in that hole, and that's how he raised us. Like we didn't necessarily go to the grocery store to get food all the time. Like,
Exactly.
so I wanted, I and those are those materials I was talking about. Like I want to work, I want to relate more. Sometimes I work with things that I relate to, and like, you know, fishing and like netting.